Hi, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. House maintenance and home improvement projects can be daunting, and if you're not wieldy with a wrench or savvy with a plumber snake, it can be impossible and infuriating to do without the help of a specialized trade person. It's easy to get in over your head, and I speak from experience. Don't worry, though. We have Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan joining us today. They are field managers for Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. They specialize in everything from drain lines to well pumps, and they're here to answer your questions. So if you're stuck, backed up, confused, you got an elbow problem, you need some flux and whatnot, give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We talk plumbing today. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You can tweet us, at @WAMCVoxPop. You can go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You will see a Vox Pop post there. Oh, what else? Oh, you go to our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop. And a comment there. Got all that? All right, here's the phone number, 1-800-348-2551. I know, a gentleman, it's a long introduction, but Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Good to be here.
You guys look pretty relaxed. Plumbing is it's pretty relaxed, right? You come in, your pants are hanging down a little bit, you do some work, and then you leave. Every plumber I've ever met, fairly relaxed. And well compensated. So nice to have you guys here. So before the show, Ian, you had mentioned that your mother, you're a second-generation plumber.
Yes, I am.
Interesting story.
My parents were both plumbers. My mother was the first statewide woman master plumber in the country.
That's cool.
And it was great. I hated this industry growing up. I had to do plumbing when everybody else was out playing and having fun. So,
but aren't you happy now? I mean, it's a good line of work.
I love it. I love it. I love what I do. I get to solve problems every single day. I walk in, people are upset. I leave, they're happy, they're smiling, they're hugging me, offering me dinner, all kinds of stuff.
See, that's the thing. And you have a skill that will work in the event of an electromagnetic pulse attack on this country and there's no electricity. All radio people, we're done. We have no skills, okay? I can barely build a fire. You're always going to need plumbing.
That's right.
So good to have you guys here. And Tommy, now which one of you guys is in the Capital Region?
Yeah.
All right, so you'll be over to fix the toilet later at my house.
Yes, I will.
All right, fair enough. All right, so, I mentioned at the beginning of the show the frozen pipe issue. And I only brought it up because somebody, and I forget, maybe somebody in the newsroom said, oh, my pipe's froze. This was during a cold snap a couple of weeks ago. So is it a myth or is it true that you should leave a little drip of water running in your sink when it's sub-zero?
Yes, it doesn't hurt. Running water doesn't usually... I preface that, doesn't usually freeze. So if you leave a little bit of the water running, it won't freeze most of the time.
But yet you see in very cold climates, Chicago or whatever, you'll see rivers that freeze.
Yes.
So it doesn't always help.
Doesn't always.
It can also cause other issues if your drain line is backing up and you don't watch it overnight.
Yeah.
It could cause a bigger issue, which is what we run into a whole lot.
So the bathroom sink that I was talking about snaking for 37 hours, and I bought like one that attached to a drill. If you don't know how to do that, what happens is it just gets
kinks up.
Yeah.
It can actually hurt you too, which is not a fun experience.
So what happened with that one, this was a bathroom sink, and basically it was plugged completely. It would occasionally work, and then it finally stopped, and one of my kids left the water on. And all of a sudden, I'm walking around the corner, and there's just a flood. So you're absolutely right about that. All right. Well, gosh, the phone lines are loaded. Gentlemen, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We'll kick it off with Phil in Greenfield, Mass. Hiya, Phil. You're on.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, I was doing a little plumbing for one of the first times in my life. I think I was working on a 1.5-inch copper pipe underneath the sink. I watched a YouTube video on how to do all this. And I was soldering, and I was using that green flux. And I got the green flux all over my hands and my fingers, and I was rubbing my eyes, and I got that smoke all in my face. And a few hours later, I broke out with a bad rash. Now, is that a typical problem if you're exposed to this, or is it specific to just me, do you think?
Phil, before they answer, I want to tell you that they both have terrible rashes right now. No, I'm kidding. All right, go ahead.
It all depends on what the label says. There are many different types of flux. It could have been just a skin irritant.
I would say never, ever, ever, Phil, put it in your eyes. Anytime you work with anything that has to do with your plumbing, whether it's chemicals, whether it's actually sewage, one of the fastest ways to transmit diseases is through your eyes. So if you get anything on your fingers, your hands, whether it's no matter what you're working with, if your hands are dirty, you should never, ever touch your eyes. And I would say wash them out, and I would go to one of those emergency rooms.
Jeez, really?
If you get something like that in your eye, it doesn't hurt. I kind of like to see. So anything that may cause me to go blind is going to scare the heck out of me, Phil.
Yeah, I had the bad rash all over my hands. It was that green flux.
The hand stuff. It's probably just your skin, your reaction to it, and I would say there's probably no harm in that. But the eye thing scares me a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Phil.
Yep.
You boys go to the emergency room fairly often then?
No. Not anymore.
We're careful.
So what's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. Joe in Clifton Park. Joe, you're on.
Hi. I had a built my house a couple years ago, and we have well water. And when we first started drawing off the well, there was clay in the water, and of course had a sulfury smell as well. The sulfury smell remains, and the clay has sort of dissipated, and it's really not there anymore. However, it's tended to kind of gum up the works of our toilets. And I think I successfully cleaned one of them the other day by soaking them in. I just put a gallon of vinegar in the back tank. But I was wondering if there is a better way to clean out that mechanism. If you had any suggestions, etc.
Personally, the best way to handle that is to remove it before it gets into your fixtures. So as the water comes in, you need to treat it and remove that. When you say the staining, I'm assuming you are probably talking about a reddish stain. Is that correct?
No, it's a gray stain. That stain is gone, on the toilet itself, but in the back,
in the tank, the
float valve there.
Float valve.
Well, there's several different.
One of the toilets isn't operating.
Well, there's several different. That actually sounds more like the clay or the sediment, and you can take that out with a filter. The sulfur smell is also created by. It could be a couple of different things. You have to actually test the water to figure out where the sulfur comes from, but it's usually a byproduct of an iron-eating bacteria or an iron-eating algae. And it produces a sulfur gas. That's what it gives off. And there's ways to treat for that before the water actually reaches the toilet. So when the water comes in and you have that well tank there, we usually put some water treatment in right there. So you'd have to have a plumber come out and get a sample of water or take it to a plumbing supply house, test it, figure out exactly what's in the water, and then we can route you in the right direction on how to remove that before it gets to the toilet.
All right. Joe, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I know. But sulfur in itself, if you smell sulfur in your water, not the end of the world, right?
Not going to hurt you, but it's very annoying. You don't want to smell it and take a shower, and you really don't want to drink it because it smells bad, but it's not going to hurt you physically.
Okay. All right, let's get one more at least in here before the next break. 1-800-348-2551. Bob in Holland Patton. Bob.
Yes. I have an aside on that soldering acid. I used some underneath the sink years ago, and I got seriously burned in my eyes. I must have got it on my fingers and rubbed my eyes, and I was nearly blinded by it, and I couldn't stand any amount of light at all. I had to be in complete darkness for, I don't know, a couple of weeks afterward. Thank God for a doctor who saved my sight.
But
be very, very careful. Don't get it on your fingers, because if you might touch something, wash it off immediately.
Right you are, Bob.
That's, oh, my God, anybody be very, very careful. I was under a sink where I dripped on me.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can still see, Bob.
Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good
yeah, I'm a builder, so I did it many years ago. I have a question about two different water systems, well lines going from a pump, submersible, immersed pump in a deep well, feeding a house. Is there a simple way of draining the water from the house to that well without disconnecting the well, inside the well, to winterize a place? And I have another which has the pump inside the building, not at the well, but foot valves in the well. So it needs to have the drain, the line drained also to the well.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Bob, we deal with this a lot when we winterize houses, and there's a check valve that's built into the pump, and then depending
correct.
On how deep it is, you should have a check valve every 200 feet if it was piped properly. And then the foot valve that on the jet pump assembly is also at the bottom of the well. There's no way to make that drain because we need that to hold water. Otherwise, it puts too much wear and tear on your pump. So you
right.
need to have that, and the only way to drain that down would be to pull it out.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's what I thought. And I have another question regarding water heaters.
All right,
with
quick.
New,
Bob,
with the new codes on the water heaters, New York State and so forth, what are the requirements of water heaters? Now, I understand they're much more expensive.
But can you answer this quickly?
Very quickly. The new codes go into effect come April, and water heater manufacturers will be making water heaters to code, but you can still buy the products that are on the shelves today, and we probably won't see the new products until, I'm guessing, October.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back with Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan and your plumbing questions.
Support for WAMC comes from Washington County Tourism, featuring outdoor winter recreational activities, including downhill and cross-country skiing, snowmobiling, and birding. WashingtonNYCounty.com. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop. And Molly Cantor Pottery in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, announcing her Share the Love reception this Saturday with chocolate, make-your-own Valentines, new artwork, and pottery. MollyCantor.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Number to call, 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined today by Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. And always nice to have a plumbing show every couple of months because there's always, there's never a shortage of people who have questions. And I have several myself. Here's one from email, and this is from our buddy Joe Makowitz, who is a volunteer extraordinaire at our fun drive and other times. We have a well for water, and it's fairly hard. We get scale in our tea kettle, and we've had to replace a couple of shower heads because of buildup. I'm considering putting in a water softening system. I'm thinking about reverse osmosis. Could the gentleman discuss the merits of various kinds of water softening systems and what testing I should do before I decide on a system? Thanks, Joe. We appreciate the question.
Well, first, you need to get a sample of your water and either have a plumber come out there and test it or bring it somewhere, and that will tell them what kind of system you need based on how hard it is, what minerals are found in it. There are many different systems that take out hard water, take out sulfur. They have UV light systems that kill bacteria. It all depends on what they find.
When he spoke a little bit about scale, so generally there's many different ways to treat it, as Tommy said, but you want to test for three things. You want hardness, you want pH, and you want iron levels. Once you test for those three things, it's a lot easier to figure out how to treat for these things. You also want to know, do you get scale in the cold water or just in the hot? So you can actually take your you can take a small pot of water and boil it from the cold side of your faucet and boil that and boil one from the hot side. And if you see residue in both sides, you know it's in the cold. If you see it only in the hot side, you know it's coming from the hot water heater. And there's scale inhibitors you can put on the inlet pipe for that, which will treat for that.
I hope that helps. I'm waiting for a response, but Joe, of course, he emailed the question.
I hope that helps, Joe.
Sorry, I was miles away. All right, let's go back to the phones. Marty in the Western Catskills. Marty.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I have a cabin out in the Western Catskills, and I winterize it, drain the water. We have radiant heat in the utility room and the bathroom. It's kind of a combination. And I'm wondering, is it better for the plumbing system and the house in general, the heating system, to go in there and open up the house every couple of weeks, and you know, to check on and everything, or is it better just to let it sit for the whole year if you're not going to use it? I'm just wondering, what's a better way to deal with it?
Well, honestly, it doesn't, Marty, it doesn't really matter either way as long as it's winterized properly. I would say just for peace of mind, if you're out and about that way or if it's near you, I would stop in just to check. I would also make sure that when you winterize, you put antifreeze in all of the traps because there's always going to be water in the traps. You have to think about your drain lines as well. And if you don't suck the water out of, if you don't use a shop vac or something to get the water out of the tank in the back of your toilet, you also need to antifreeze that. RV antifreeze works really well. You can find it at any Home Depot or AutoZone or those places.
Isn't that a environmental hazard, though? If it drains out into the where is it draining?
That's the RV antifreeze, and it doesn't. It tends to not hurt septic systems.
Okay.
That's why I recommended the RV.
Okay. All right, Marty, you got that?
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call.
Trying to get me in trouble, right?
Hey, man. You know what? It's my job. 1-800-348-2551. George in Middletown. George, you're on.
All righty. Thank you. Listen, I have a friend who just bought a house, and it has one bathroom on the second floor, and down in the basement, it had a second toilet. But the toilet's not there, but the hole is. So when they run the water, either the flushing or running the sink, for, let's say, 5 or 10 minutes, it starts backing up out of down in the basement there. What can we...
I see Tommy nodding his head here. You've seen this before?
It's a very common problem if the main line has some kind of blockage in it. What's happening is the water is not leaving the pipe at the rate it should be, so water is always going to back up, and it comes out the lowest point possible, in this case, the open hole. They should really have a professional go down there and get a camera in the line and check out what is going on and take care of the problem.
Hmm. Also, that's usually a sign that they had a bathroom in there that they never got a CO on, so it was never...
What's a CO?
Certificate of occupancy.
Ah.
So somebody added a bathroom in there and they never got it inspected, so in order to sell the house, they have to rip it out. So they really should have gone in there, and you might be able to talk to the sellers and find out why they didn't, but they're not supposed to just take out the toilet. They're supposed to seal that pipe so that you don't have that, because especially on a toilet line, there's no trap, so you're going to get a sewer gas smell there all the time if you don't seal that properly.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
George, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Rooter. So you mentioned cameras and putting cameras down the line. Is this now standard equipment for all major plumbers?
Pretty much.
For the most part, yeah.
What did you do in the old days?
We would use our cable machines, and where we felt a pushback or something, assuming we're under a concrete floor, we would say, it's probably about here. Let's start here, break the floor, and we'll work our way around.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, when I was snaking this bathroom sink, I was in a long way. And finally, when I called the plumber, and I don't think he used a camera, but it was much further than I had even snaked. I mean, there's a little skill there. You have to kind of know.
I would hope so.
Fair enough. Well, if there's no
skill, I don't have a job.
Give me my job application for Mr. Rooter. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Well, I hate to go back to the sulfur problem, but I've got a real mind bender here. I'm a retired builder, and my house is connected. Everything that goes to my cottage or my mother's house is in this house. The submersible pump, pH of the water is about it's fairly alkaline, about 8. It's not acid at all, and it's not. I had a guy in to test it, and everything's fine. And my house, I have absolutely no smell of sulfur, and my mother's house, she has absolutely no smell of sulfur except for her kitchen sink. And that is the furthest point in the system. It's not the lowest point, but it's the furthest point. And I'm wondering why just the kitchen sink.
Hmm.
You know, I put in the whole system. I know that it's 1.25 inch line, run underground for about 100 feet from the house.
Mark? Same well for you and your mother?
Yeah.
Now, you said Salem. Are you in North Salem, South Salem?
We're up here in Washington County.
Oh, okay, the other Salem. Gotcha.
We have areas of sulfur here, and I know we're very familiar with it because this is an odd situation.
Well, I'm going to have a suggestion for you, because if it's the same water feeding every fixture in both houses,
right?
Generally, What I'd like you to do is tomorrow morning, when the water's been sitting and the system's been sitting overnight, go in and run a different sink. Make that the first one that you run.
Right.
And smell the water, and I'll bet you still smell it, because what generally happens is you smell the water where you're using it, and it usually builds up overnight. So when you go and you turn on the shower, that gas evaporates over your head, and you don't actually notice the smell. So people will tell me they only smell it in the bathroom sink when they're brushing their teeth, or they only smell it in the kitchen when they're making their coffee. So I'm guessing that she probably uses the kitchen first in the morning, and I think that you have a sulfur problem throughout your entire system. There's also, if you call a trade professional, someone can come out, and they can actually do a sulfur test right at your house.
Well, they've done that. There's no sulfur in the water.
There's also sulfur bacteria, so they need to test. And the big thing that you need to test for is iron, because there's a bacteria that actually feeds off of the iron. It hides behind the iron. Very, very tough. One of the hardest things we have to remove right there, because even UV lights, they can hide behind minerals inside the water, you don't even kill them all. So it's very tough to get out, but it is possible. But you need to have somebody that knows what they're doing, test the water, and come up with a treatment system.
Or can you take some water to them?
You can't, because then you can, but there's a process. You have to put it in a sterile container,
and you
have to have a bag of ice next to it in kind of a lunchbox, but it can't touch the water on your whole drive because you could hurt the bacteria. So it's much better to have somebody come out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a screwy problem, because the water actually tested very good for everything. It's 450 feet deep, and I have the pump set at 350, and I have 200 feet of water above it.
Well, Mark, I'll tell you one more thing. There's also different veins and wells depending on the water level and how much you're using. If it rains a lot, if it snows a lot, some veins get used, some others don't get used. And then when we have a lack of water or an abundance of water, another vein will drop into that well. So sulfur could just be in one vein, and it's very tough to figure that out if we're not getting it. You have to call somebody out when the smell is there, so they should make it a first appointment in the morning.
So they have to check it at the sink then.
Correct.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call. So you mentioned this bacteria that's very tricky, and it'll hide behind the iron or the minerals. You can get rid of it, but not with UVs. And my question is, once you get rid of it, does it come back? I mean, how do you permanently get rid of something like that?
Yes, it's a Tommy, go ahead.
No, there are certain systems that you can actually install that will continuously kill the bacteria or separate it from the water and discharge it down the drain line. The well itself will always have the bacteria in it. It's just getting rid of it before it gets to all the fixtures.
Yeah, and so this is something that will require permanent filter changes and maintenance and everything else?
It depends on the system you put in. Some of them are chlorine systems. Other are air systems that actually coagulate everything and can catch it and then discharge it out the line.
Wow.
But you also, when you do that, you have to remember that you have this bacteria in the lines. So if you don't use, and one of the common kills for this is peroxide. You can always use bleach, chlorine, but peroxide works better for that particular bug. Yeah. And you have to actually put that in the system and get it to all your fixtures, including your outside faucets that you don't think about. You have to run it, let it sit for 24 hours, kill all the bacteria.
And
then you start the process. Otherwise, it'll grow and work its way back.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Edward in North Adams. Edward, you're on.
Fantastic. before I get to my question about radiators, you mentioned that my question is, are robots going to take over plumbers? Do you know?
Ah, excellent question.
They'd just charge more.
But their pants
would
be pulled up.
That's naturally. nuclear power, electricity, they said when it first came out, that tells you my age, they said it was going to be free.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that then.
Very few things are free, I've found.
Uh-huh. Well, so the answer is you don't know right now. I'm serious about robots. I mean, they're talking about it all the time.
I think it would be tough. It would be tough to program a robot to solve problems. I guess anything's possible.
Yeah. I think these guys will be employed for a while, though.
Well, I love two things you've already said. One is, you always say it depends, and that means you got a job. And the most important thing you said, which is, in my opinion, the most important thing that will be said in 2015 on AMC or any other place, is, I love my job. Very few people say that.
I hear you, man. So what's up with the radiators?
Okay, there it goes. My radiator is bang, which is, I'm sure, water in the system, right?
Okay.
Or air pockets?
Air pockets.
Air hammer effect.
What, hammer effect?
It is air pockets.
So do you have radiators or do you have baseboard? It's very important.
Radiators.
Okay.
Radiators.
So
they're banging right now. Let's see.
So, Edward, have they done this the entire time you've lived there?
No.
Okay.
In the beginning of the season, they were just, it was fine without it.
Okay, so there's some air vents, there's some air release vents on top of the radiators, and they're supposed to let out air, and then they seal when they get wet. Should probably have those checked. If it's a problem that has always happened, though, it could also be pipes in the walls. If the holes that they drilled for the pipes are either too big or too small, you'll hear the pipes banging or squeaking or creaking in the wood.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do without removing walls.
Oh, wow. I got a sledgehammer. No, but what I did, I bled them last Saturday, and then everything was fine for 2 days, and then it came back.
Right, you purged the system and you bled them, but you might have to, the auto air vents that are on top of radiators, do you have steam radiators or are they?
Yes.
So steam. You just need to change those vents. That's all. You drain the system down, you change the vents out, make sure you use some kind of thread sealant tape
now,
on there.
When you say the vents on top, there's nothing on top.
Or
there's,
on the side, maybe.
On the side, there.
There you go. That's why you have to say sometimes, because not everything is exactly the same in plumbing.
No.
Well, I know that, but what I'm sometimes one radiator will bang and then and do it, and then another time another radiator will do it, and the other one won't.
The air is moving through the system at that point, and we recommend just going around and changing all the bleeders out, because once it gets in that radiator, it's not going to leave right away.
All right. Edward, good luck, my friend. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Anna in Springfield, you're on.
Plainfield.
Oh, Plainfield. I'm sorry.
That's all right. And I apologize for the clicking. It's my fence charger.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, we'll try to keep it.
I'm on a farm, and I have a back field that has no water. I have cattle, and carrying 100 gallons of water out there isn't particularly feasible. I wanted to run a summer line out there, and I was wondering if I attached it at the house, if that was too much work for my pump. It's a deep well, and we've never had trouble with it. It has plenty of water, and I would run about 100 gallons every couple of days.
Okay, we're going to turn you down just because it's an extraordinarily annoying sound, and you can listen in, and you can let these guys answer. So go ahead.
Without seeing the system, we can't give an accurate answer. Depending on how deep your well is, how big your pump is, how much water you have, the distance there, they're all too many variables to actually give you a clear answer about that.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. You didn't hear that?
No. I was saying how far it was, and so I over-talked you, and I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So say it again, Tommy.
No, just who would be the best answer, a local plumber?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody who's familiar with well systems, you want them to do a flow rate test on your well. So you want to find out how many, there's what's called a static line in your well. That's where the water is when the pump's not running, and then how long it takes the water to go down and how much water is in there to find out how many gallons per minute you can actually use. You might have to set up a system where you put a holding tank in there, and then you fill that holding tank and you have a secondary pump. But it's definitely possible. Nothing is impossible with water. We can move it anywhere we want. It's just a matter of how do we get it there and how much do you want to spend.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Here's one from email before we take a break. Every time I scrub my toilet, within a couple days, it's stained red again, so I go through a lot of bowl cleaner. What causes that red stain, and is there any way I can eliminate, correct it, or at least reduce it? That's from Jeff. It's not blood, presumably, right?
We hope not, at least.
Okay, red rum.
That goes back to the water filtration stuff and treatment. It is iron in the water, and we would have to go there, test the iron amount, and recommend either a special softener or a iron treatment system. And there are many different kinds of those.
What would you do? I mean, what's a common way to handle the iron?
If there's not a lot in the system, there is a water softener, which many people with wells have to begin with, and it's actually a media in there that will actually take iron out with it.
If it goes beyond a certain level, we have to go to the next system, which takes out iron separately or iron sulfur separately.
Yeah, most of the time we don't get that much iron. So most of the time it's just an iron soft softener. You don't want to put those in if you don't have to, if they don't have iron, because they have to regenerate every 4 days, which means you use about 8 to 10 pounds of salt per regeneration. So you're going through a lot more salt.
So salt is the key to this.
No, salt is what cleans the media. I give you a quick overview on how
a softener works. Go ahead.
So a softener has media resin inside of a tank, and then next to it you have what's called your brine tank or your salt tank.
Yeah.
So the brine tank doesn't do any work, doesn't take anything out. The media inside the tank is positively charged. All your minerals are negatively charged. They attach to the beads. So when it regenerates, it pumps a little water into the brine tank, mixes with the salt, pumps it back through, washes off those beads, discharges all the minerals, and it starts all over again.
Brilliant. So are those beads then, can you use them permanently, assuming magnetism is...
Depends on which company and which ones you buy. That's why there's a big difference in the lower-end softeners and the high-end softeners. Some beads are rated to last about 5 years worth of regeneration. Some are last 40 or 50. Depends on the beads.
Fascinating. Well, I did not know that. See, I learn a lot. On almost every show, about any topic, I learn a lot. Let's take a break here. Jess, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back with Ian Cowan and Tommy Drummond in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional services and supplies to owners and contractors. CurtisLumber.com. Hubbard Hall, Center for the Arts and Education, Cambridge, New York, presenting Molière's comedy Tartuffe, weekends February 20th through March 15th. HubbardHall.org. The Capital District YMCA, working to nurture the potential in every child with locations across the Capital Region. CDYMCA.org. And Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting Second Look, Oil Paintings by Lisa David. Opening reception this Saturday at 2 p.m., SchenectadyHistorical.org.
Fox Pop on WAMC. Plumbers like to laugh, and during the break, they laugh a lot. And it's nice to have Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan here from Mr. Reuter Plumbing. And they're keeping it fairly serious while we're on the air. But when we're off the air, forget about it. All bets are off. Here's another one, gentlemen, from email. This is from Mark. Products off the shelf like Liquid Plumber and Drano all say that you're not supposed to use them to unclog a toilet. But these products seem to work really well. Why is it that we're not supposed to use them for toilets, and why do plumbers dislike these products?
We dislike them for many reasons, mostly because of safety. If you get them on you, they can burn you. They can burn your clothes off. They can do terrible things to you.
And they eat pipes, don't they?
They can.
Which is good for your business.
Some of the newer drain cleaners are not actually acids anymore. They're actually a base. They are safer, and I use that with parentheses, to use compared to sulfuric acids and stuff like that, but they can still eat the finish off of the toilet. So you're not supposed to use it on that.
That explains it. So the porcelain or whatever, it's not...
It can have a bad reaction with it and just take off the finish. And
I'm also glad that your emailer is finding those products useful, but generally we don't find them as useful, and if they did work, plumbers would just sell them. So
yeah.
We find that they generally don't work.
We'd
as well.
Be out of a job.
Well, the real tough jobs, nothing like that will work. When we were grasping at straws, when I had a slow draining before this whole bathroom sink thing went out of control and caused me hours, a whole weekend of just angst and swearing, we tried vinegar and baking soda.
Yep.
And actually, it's a very cool experiment. Mm-hmm. You put the vinegar in, a little baking soda, it bubbles up.
Yep.
And I imagine that for, say, a kitchen sink that has some food particles, maybe not a lot.
It's usually grease. All your soaps and detergents turn into grease as well.
Yeah.
And then all your food particles get stuck in that grease.
Yeah.
So if you've ever, if anybody's ever had a camera in their drain liner, they've seen the plumbers will show them the grease buildup. And they make bacterias that eat away grease. They make acids. They make all kinds of
stuff. But does the vinegar and baking soda just make me feel better, or does it do anything?
it eats it eats away some of the grease. But generally what happens is all those products, if you have them in there and they bore a little bit of a hole in, now the product's gone. It runs down. So the only ones that tend to do any good at all are the foaming products because they don't run down the drain.
Yeah.
So even if they do eat through it, it doesn't do a whole lot of good.
Okay. So let's go to Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
I've got some roots that I keep finding in my main line going out to the street.
All right.
And I'm wondering, I know it's a clay pipe, and I know I've got tree roots. They're fine roots. And I've had a plumber out a couple of times to cut them finally, and I'd just get lazy and just rent a unit and run it down my main line, and everything's good for another year. What are my options other than digging up?
Well, that, what you just said, is the best option. Dig up the line, replace it, and you are good to go. Unfortunately, the other options are more of a Band-Aid fix. Some companies do have trenchless digging that allow you to clean the line and inflate a new line in place. They're a bit more expensive, but all the other options, such as jetting or hydro scrubbing your line, it's like high pressure water that cut out all the roots. It might buy you a little more time, but it's, once again, a Band-Aid fix. You're not...
Well, the other thing I think you need to tell this guy is anytime that the roots come in, you cut out the roots grow back thicker. So even though they're small right now, and especially with clay pipe, you said you had clay tends to break and crumble. So eventually, you're not going to have an option to reline that pipe if you don't do it right away. You're going to have to dig. So you're going to lose an option over time because pieces of that are going to break and get in there.
All right.
Well, I got friends who have excavation companies, and I suppose it shouldn't be too hard a thing to replace it with PVC and be done with it.
That's it.
Yep.
There you go.
Thanks,
all right.
Man. Appreciate it.
If you didn't want to get in the trench, if I could help it.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
So that's not something that you guys do, right? Mr. Reuter,
yes,
I know that when we had that issue where the outside line had to be replaced, I had to call a separate, different plumber.
We do everything now.
Really?
Yep.
Amazing. Really? All right. So let's go to...
I love the trenchless pipes, right?
Yeah?
I love it.
I can tell you is it was an expensive job to go from the street to the back of my house where the water came in.
Maybe that's part of the reason I love it.
Dirty, rotten, dang. All right. Justin in Albany. You're on. Justin.
Oh, thank you. So my main question is the main line leading out to the septic tank, does that have to have a trap on it? I think it's like a 4-inch pipe. But does that need to have its own separate trap right near where it leads out into the septic tank?
Justin, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a little bit of plumbing education here, and I'm going to tell you about traps and why we have them. So it really depends on where you live, and it depends on if your inspector in your town actually knows why we have traps. So I'm going to tell you why we have them. There are sewer gases that come in that they make people sick. If you smell them, you can pass out, you can die. So years ago, they decided to put a trap on the house and said that'll save everybody from getting the methane gas in their house. Then we found out that they're still getting gases from the pipes that are in the house. So now, according to the International Code Council, the plumbing code book that we use across all 50 states says every individual fixture must be individually trapped. Now, there is another line in that code book in the International Code Council that says nothing can be double trapped. However, New York State pulled it out of the code book before they put their code book in because we have so many house traps. So technically, in most of the other states, house trap is illegal. In New York, it really depends on your inspector in your town. But I would say the first thing I did, I moved here from Michigan. And when I moved in and bought my house here, I ripped out the house trap because you don't need it.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Justin,
thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Over to Rick in Schenectady. Rick, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good show.
Thanks.
I have an odd noise question for you.
All right.
We've got an old kitchen sink with a single lever faucet in it. It's probably 12 feet from the hot water heater that's in the basement. And when you turn off the hot water, you get this weird humming noise. It shows up. It's kind of a...
Jeez. We live in Amityville?
Nope.
All right, so go ahead.
So what is it, and do we need to take any action?
It's a good impression. I like that sound.
Frightening.
Could be a couple of things. Could just be that you need to replace the cartridge in the faucet. I think you said it was a single handle. So
it's an old leaking. Now the cartridge is starting to leak.
Yeah, so it's usually there's either something jammed in there or the cartridge is going bad, and that's what's creating the sound. You're getting a slow shut off. If you get a banging, that's a quick shut off. So sometimes in a line you'll have something in there that'll push up and get caught right in the cartridge, and then when you turn it off, it kind of slides back down. So usually that's just the cartridge. Every once in a while, it could be something in the actual, in the what we call the emergency shutoff valve underneath there, and it could be something jammed in there, but usually it's just the cartridge in the faucet.
Oh, okay. So the sound may sound like it's coming from underneath the sink, but it could be originating just when we change the faucet, change the sink, it might just disappear.
Correct.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Hey, let us know next time how it worked out.
I will. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Let's go over to Mark in Wilbraham. Mark, you're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had bought a house last year, and I had a backup in my septic, and come to find out my inlet coming in is lower than my outlet, so I'm getting backwash about 5 feet into my house. I'm just curious, when they do a Title V, are they supposed to check all three hatches and to be sure that that inlet is at the proper height?
Yeah, so are you talking about an inspection from your local plumbing inspector, or are you talking about a home inspection from purchasing the new home?
So, yeah, the home inspection prior to the purchase of the house, because there was actually there's a brick patio laid out that that looks like it was never pulled up to look at that inlet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of questioning, is that part of what they're supposed to do?
Well, what I can tell you, Mark, is I see you're in Massachusetts. I'm in New York. And I'll tell you, in New York, most of the home inspectors don't do that. There are a few that are very good and they do check things like that. And it's something that personally I think they should check. But they're at least in New York, there don't seem to be any standards on what these home inspectors need to do. So you really have to do some research when buying a home to see if they check the plumbing and the electrical and everything. Unfortunately.
Oh, yes. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Mark. Over to Ray in Great Barrington. Ray, you're on.
Hi. Let's see. I've got a couple questions. Dripping, slow drips in the kitchen. I'm sorry, the bathroom and the tub. Green stains, I assume, is copper. And I've speculated that it may come from the actual plumbing pipes, but I don't know.
No, Ray, you're on the right track. Usually the green staining is the copper itself, and usually that's a sign of acidic water. So you need to do a pH test, and you need to treat for that.
Oh,
because
of course it is.
So
what, it's robbing some of the copper from the pipes?
It does.
Yes,
it actually eats your pipes from
the
inside.
I'm an aquatic biologist. I can't believe I haven't tested the pH of my water.
It all seems
I'm
so simple
shoot
now.
I'm going to myself in the foot when I get off the phone.
Don't do that,
please,
Ray.
Don't do that, Ray. Right.
And if you do, don't tell us.
Of course, that's what it is.
Okay.
Good job, Ray. Thanks for doing my job for me.
Now, you said you used the term hides behind. What do you mean?
What I mean by that is if you use it's really not a huge technical term. It's just kind of what I use to explain it to people. If you have bacteria and you have
more technical terms.
Well, that's a good question.
Now he's got you.
So if you,
as I said, I'm an aquatic biologist.
What I mean is if you have a bacteria that's small enough to hide behind small particles inside your water and the UV light doesn't kill them. I don't know what the technical term for that is. I call it hiding behind. So sorry,
Ian. You've learned a lesson.
Fair enough.
You've learned a lesson. Our listeners are very smart, so you got
to
watch yourself.
I like
Ian.
That. Educated customers are best.
I used to go to Wylands on the coast of Maine and check their private UV systems so that they wouldn't be dumping raw sewage.
Did you test their pH as well?
Hey,
very funny.
Right.
I'm just teasing you. Right.
And last but not least,
okay.
For dissolving grease plugs, of course, that's the worst mistake anyone can make in the kitchen, is cooking grease and grease from meats and things. Raise heck with plumbing. The thing that dissolves grease best is more grease. In other words, like hand cleaners. Hydrocarbons.
I see shaking of head here.
In other words, kerosene.
Well, the best...
But putting that down your drain
is not a good thing.
It's not a good thing at all, no.
No. No, don't.
Okay,
do
so
no.
don't do that.
You can hydro scrub the lines. You can get a plumber with a jetter, we call them, and they actually hydro scrub the line, and they use high pressure water to clean it out, and you start all over again. There's also organic.
Is the water hot?
No.
No, no, no. It's cold. It does. It's kind of like a pressure washer for your outside of your house, but made for inside the pipes. The other thing is they make green bacteria, things that are environmentally friendly that actually take all your fats, oils, and greases, turn them into carbon dioxide and water. There's several products like that on the market.
Yeah. Oh, that would be very good. Yeah.
Okay, Ray, we got to move it along, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Jack in Hillsdale. Jack.
Hello. You talked about radiators before. I have baseboard heating, and when it starts up, it bubbles, kind of like an air pump pumping air into a fish tank. I've tried to air out the top of it, but nothing happens. It's still bubbling like crazy. Mm. Any ideas what that might be?
You have to purge this system. Just letting air out of the top of the boiler is not going to get the air that's already in the pipes. So you should have a few air vents on there. You may have an air scoop. There's several different ways that the air is taken out, but you can manually purge that system. You should have, depending on how many zones you have, you'll have different shutoff valves, and you'll have boiler drains like hose connections. So you have to shut them down. You have to circulate the water and drain it into a hose. You kink the hose. You let some of the air out. You let the pressure build up, and you drain it out. A plumbing professional can do it for you in very, very little time. You could probably YouTube it as well.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, so YouTube can be a real problem, can it, for any profession?
No, because we love it. They go in and they try it, and then they're much more open to us fixing it when they screw it up.
I see. Cha-ching. All right, let's go to Kate in Tivoli. Kate.
Hi. I have a well for the first time, and very shortly after moving in, my cat developed blood in her urine. And about 6 to 8 weeks after that, I developed blood in my urine. Neither of us had any discernible illness that would cause it. And I went online and tried to do some research, and it seemed to be, there was very little, but heavy metals could cause this. Heavy metals in the water. Do you know anything about that?
What do you guys know about this?
Yes, I would suggest that you immediately find a local place that tests water. We talked earlier on the show about water testing and the way that you have to take the sample. I would contact, just do a Google search where you live, any kind of search, Bing search, and find a place that tests water for bacteria. And I would...
I had it tested twice, and it was okay.
Oh.
For bacteria.
But what about
no,
heavy
what
metals?
About the heavy metals? Did you tell them?
No.
Yeah.
My local plumber said that would cost about $800.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't know exactly where you're at or what, but if you search and do your own test and don't have the plumber do it, you go there, they'll give you they all have these little one sheets that give you directions on how to get the sample, and follow those directions exactly to the T and bring it there and get it tested, because that's a more serious problem, and that's more serious than a plumber should deal with.
All right, Kate, that's a great call, and thanks a lot. We appreciate it. All right, here's one from email as we get close to the end of the program. This is from Mark. I have slow drain in kitchen and bath. Can you recommend a product which would clear out the line, maybe even one which can be used regularly to keep the line clear?
To clear the line initially, you really should have a professional come with a machine to actually get everything out first, and then you can use some of the products to actually maintain the line and prevent it from building up again.
Okay.
There really is no product that's going to get the line clean. You have to get something in there first to get it clean and then maintain it.
Okay, so how would you maintain it, though?
There are different products that have enzymes and bacteria in there. You do a cup a month, whatever the recommended dose is, and you pour it down there. It actually will go around the whole line and prevent anything from sticking there. It like creates a slip and slide.
So, you know, I have four daughters and a wife, and there's a lot of hair in my bathroom sink all the time, and I'm trying to get it out of there. What will get rid of that once it's down?
You want to get rid of, like Tommy said, you want to get rid of the grease, because the grease is what catches the hair. If you have plastic pipes and you have a nice, good piping system,
the hair's
not going to catch.
Yeah.
It's going to run right down, but you get a little bit of grease in there and it'll catch on there for you.
All right, fair enough. Well, gentlemen, we are done. And thanks to everybody who called in today. Sorry if we left you on the line. Tommy Drummond at Ian Cowan. Nice work on it, first attempt.
Thank you, sir.
We'll tell the boss over at Mr. Reuter that you did a pretty good job today. Support comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, presenting an off-the-shelf event with Eric Larson and his book Dead Wake, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania, Saturday, March 14th, 7 p.m., Northshire.com. And Epic Vermont Artisans, 18 Vermont Artisans Manchester Center, an artisan-owned and operated cooperative craft gallery honoring handmade traditions and contemporary design, epochvermont.com. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Bruce Herbach, who answered your calls. Our engineer today, surprisingly enough, was Jessica O'Rourke. Nice work. You're not always at the helm there, but you did good. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks again to Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, another exciting and informative and entertaining program. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out.